Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. The story of the rich young ruler shows up in three different gospel lessons: Luke 18, which we just heard, Matthew 19, 16 through 27, and Mark 10, 17 through 28. We are to take notice. We hear in the gospel that a rich young man asked Jesus how he could be assured that he would inherit eternal life. He was a successful young man, having been fortunate in his business dealings. Luke 18 tells us he was a man of great wealth, having an abundance of earthly possessions that exceeds normal experience, and a ruler. He was an observant Jew, living according to the commandments of the Torah, remarking to Jesus that, "Teacher, I have kept all these since my youth." So one wonders why he wanted an assurance from Jesus that he would go to heaven. He seemed to be sitting on top of the world. What did he feel he was missing? Then came the shocker. Jesus lovingly told him, "There is still one thing lacking. Sell all that you own and distribute the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." Was Jesus truly asking the rich young ruler to go from a very wealthy, respectable member of the community to what amounts to a beggar, bereft of his wealth and stature? Did he have to give up everything, all those possessions and good things he had worked so hard to accumulate? This was just too much for the rich young ruler. He went away disconsolate and dejected. You may recall St. Francis of Assisi did exactly that. Born the first son of a wealthy and privileged textile merchant and landowner, he was destined to inherit the business, the wealth, all the power. As a youth, he was a rowdy drunkard and wanted to become a knight, a man of war. Through several sobering experiences, including a year's imprisonment after being captured in a war against neighboring Perugia, Francis began to change. He kept hearing the call of God telling him to rebuild my church. Finally, in 1203, in a dramatic confrontation with his father in the town of square of Assisi, Francis took off all his fine clothing, gave them to his father, and walked away to serve the poor and win people to a new vision of the church. Clothed only in a wool tunic and sandals, he traveled by foot to villages and towns, caring for lepers and winning followers for Christ. Today, should we sell everything that we own and give it to the poor just to assure that we enter into the kingdom of heaven? Perhaps we should look at this teaching in the light of our culture today. We have accumulated things in our lives that make it comfortable for us and our families and friends. We want to assure those within our circle have every need that they require so that their lives will be secure and comfortable, and they can achieve those things they want in their lives. But if we sell everything and give aid to the poor, wouldn't we be abandoning our families, our friends, shirking our responsibility as parents or citizens? What does Jesus mean by everything in this scripture? We automatically think he means all of our worldly possessions in exchange for our heavenly reward. Should we become like St. Francis? Many people have given up all or most of their riches and gone to live in simplicity to serve others. Mother Teresa, Gandhi, and the 20th century American social activist Dorothy Day come to mind. Most of us are not going to follow that path. I don't believe God means for us to do that. I think God wants something different from us. Let me tell you a story. For the past two Januaries at Towson Presbyterian, we have distributed Epiphany Stars, a An Epiphany star has just one word on it, such as love, joy, prayer, discipleship, commitment. The goal is to keep your Epiphany star word near you and see how it unfolds in your life during the year, to reflect and pray on how you grew in regard to your Epiphany star word. We were instructed not to peek into the Epiphany star basket when we took our personal star. I cheated. I looked. I grabbed security because I was absolutely sure that's what I needed in 2019. Security. What type of security? I thought I had thought about all types: financial, creature comforts, relationships. As the months went by, I'd look at my Epiphany star and wonder, what the heck is going on? This isn't working. As I approached this sermon, I pondered my Epiphany star and I got pretty bummed. The next moment, it was as a cloth had been ripped from my eyes, and I realized I was just like the rich young ruler. I was putting all my hopes and dreams into mortal material security. I'm not as rich as he was, yet we live in the first world and have many material gifts. My definition of security hasn't been working for me for more than half a year. What needed to change? I realized that I wanted security on my terms and didn't know what I really needed. I needed, and now I want, an expanded definition of security, an expansive security of God, a spiritual security. To rely on God, not myself, not wealth or material security, but this expansive security. Perhaps Jesus is saying that we should rid ourselves of those things that do not bring goodness and positive attachments in our lives. We all have habits, behavior that we know are not good for us, frivolous, unnecessary. Let us consider that those are the things that we can rid ourselves of. As I made my first list for the first time in a very long time, it was humbling and hard to do. I think the story of the rich ruler in today's gospel is a teaching tool to help us learn what it truly means to follow the way of Jesus. For me, it means to be willing to put the teachings of Jesus first, to put into practice every day, putting the love, compassion, and service to everyone, not just friends and families and colleagues, but everyone, all races, all economic levels, strangers, people I do not understand or think I don't like, everyone. This is hard work. There's no doubt about that. Perhaps if we ask God what we need when it comes to spiritual security, the answers will reveal themselves. I've realized through my Epiphany star epiphany that I will find spiritual security by being close to God, asking what God wants for my life and not what I think I need. These are the things that we can do something about by reevaluating our priorities. There is a distinct difference between what we actually need and what we want. Addressing our needs and using our time, our treasure, and talents from those resources which were our wants, contribute to the welfare of others, will go a long way towards fulfilling Jesus's admonition to the scripture. But let me remind you of something else. The good news is not about money or worldly security. Salvation is not determined by what we've given up for God, but what God has given up for us. We are not saved by our tithes, but by our ties to Jesus. That is good news. It's called grace, amazing grace. We have not all given what we could, but God has given enough for everyone. The Reverend Anne Marie Richards wrote just last week, quote, "Like so many of us, I want to renew my soul. I desire to release my anxieties and fears and to embrace change, embrace surrender to God's will for me. And yet, it is messy. I have to work at it, and I can't just slack off and see what happens. My soul will not gleam again until I've done a little spiritual refinishing. Luckily, the transformation of our lives more and more into the image and likeness of God is joy-filled work. We are given infinite do-overs. We don't have to get it right the first time. Our God is a God of mercy, of hope, of love, unquote. That is what I pray and hope for all of us, the spiritual security that comes from our God of mercy, hope, and love. With God's help, I urge you to reflect and discover what in your life are perceived wants and ask God for that expansive spiritual security on your journey. You and I are rich in so many ways. Christ isn't calling us to give up everything to follow him. What matters most of all is not what we do for God, but what God has done for us. God has given God's own Son for eternal life now and in the future for all of us. I leave you with some of the words attributed to St. Francis. Grant that I may not so much seek to be consoled as to consoled, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive, it is in pardoning that we are pardoned, it is in dying that we are born to eternal life. Amen.